It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. mybradio.com. And by the way, all the fans of the show, we are in the midst of a major overhaul of the platform, the main platform of the site, mybradio.com, where you're able to pick up all the past guests that we've had on the show, many of them with video as well. There's a video episode that's associated with many of the guests that we've had in studio. We will keep you updated. It's in the works. It still will take another good few weeks, but it is underway. Well, yes, the Nielsen ratings, I just reviewed them the other day, and again, we're in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Woohoo! Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's Richard Solomon. I'm just letting the word out. Yes, we're going to have another great show here. But to come in month after month in the top 10 New York AM radio is special, and of course, the thank you goes to you. You, the great listener, and the many tens of thousands of listeners of this program, week in and week out, they expect great content, and tonight's going to be no different. That's why I'm sorry, Richard, for making you a little meshuggah to get you on the show, but to get a great guest. I still want to just finish with my opener here, so sorry about that. Every single week, we cover from such a wide range of industries and professions. We talk about sales, social media, strategic planning, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing, and advertising. We cover so much. And of course, stay tuned for tonight's edition, where we will cover the world of growing a business, starting a business, partnerships. We have one of the foremost attorneys in the area, and that's, stay tuned. We're going to I got to get in my thank yous each week. Special thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role. In fact, I'm going to open with that with Richard, who has his own radio show on, what goes on behind creating a show. But Srili, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, thank you. Also to the great team at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. Also, special thank you to the great guests that have appeared recently on the show, Beth Comstock. Last week, we had Gabi Hassan, Eliezer Gross from BC, Bisadno Group. Every single guest that we've had on the show is available, as of now, for free. You can listen to the entire show by going to the platform. There are a few ways of getting it, but by going to the platform of the show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, we go to tonight's guest, Richard Solomon. Richard is a renowned attorney. He also an author. He published a book, Winning in the New York Small Claims Court. Who doesn't want that book, all right? he's also a business consultant. He has his own radio show, and we're going to talk about starting a business, buying a business, selling a business, from the vantage point of a noted attorney and a business consultant. Richard Solomon, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for the privilege of being here.
Oh, thank you.
And I have to start out, the staff that you have are just the greatest people.
Thank you.
So when I don't know if people realize how much it takes to start a radio show and to sustain it and have, all the pre-production and all the technology and the editing.
Richard, I want to ask you a question. Are you proud of us? We are we're in our fifth calendar year, started in 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
And this, we start in July of 15, which means we're fast approaching our 200th show.
Wow. See, people don't realize how hard it is to get great guests, to have the content, to constantly pump it out at a high quality week after week after week.
Thank you.
It's an incredible effort, but you have a great platform.
Thank you.
Love your website, love all your videos, and you have, very distinguished guests.
Thank you.
And a great team to back you up.
Thank you.
And a phenomenal host.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Richard. Well, let's jump right in. I got 1,000 questions, but we're only going to get to 10, 15 of them. So, okay. A person is out there and they're thinking about starting a business. You've seen it all. That I know.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So what would you say is the roadmap to, you know, starting a business? Should they be looking at some warning signs? Who should they be in touch with? What is your recommendation for someone who's starting on that path of, you know, jumping in and starting a business?
Generally, what happens is when someone comes to my office and they say, I want to start a business, I always ask, what kind of homework, background investigation have you done about the kind of business you're going to be in? Because the world is really changing. If you think of all the businesses that used to exist mm-hmm. all those years ago, record stores, bookstores,
Radio Shack.
Yeah, you know, they're all gone. And business dynamics have really changed. Things are much more expensive. There's many more regulations. The compliance is much more strict, and the failure to comply carries great penalties. So, you know, so the first question really is can you gather great professionals to be with you? Accountants, attorneys, business advisors, marketing mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. because you have to ask, is this business going to actually make money? Is this going to, in today's age where there's internet competition from basically around the world,
right.
are you going to go into retail? Retail's got a lot of challenges. Are you going to be a consultant? Well, that's got a lot of challenges too, because there's all kinds of consultants. What do you bring that's different and unique to the equation? You know, you always see a lot of times people do the same. For example, you know, there's a town and they have like five sandwich shops,
okay.
and all of a sudden you want to be the sixth sandwich shop, and it's like, you know, can the business really
can the area sustain a sixth
shop? So sometimes you want to be unique. You know, sometimes it's not great being the only person who does what you do, because that may be a warning sign. Right. Why am I the only one selling mm-hmm. vinyl records? You know, you know, is it me? You know, on the other hand, it may be, you know, there may be something too, because you may be on the cutting edge of something. Sometimes you're too ahead of the curve. I've had clients and experiences where someone was so far ahead of the curve that if they had done the business now, as opposed to 10 years ago, they would have really hit something, but they were too far in front of people's thinking, technology, and some other things. For example, I knew some guys in the 80s who wanted to do this virtual real estate stuff. They were way ahead of the curve,
wow.
but the technology
that's
wasn't right. really there. It was too
right.
expensive.
But you think about it now, that's, you know, even 5 years ago, it's the hottest thing. And so if people that thought about it in the 80s, it's a great point.
Yeah, these guys
were just ahead of the curve.
They were way ahead of the curve. They thought about maybe selling real estate by doing a virtual tour. And I saw the model. I saw their business plans, and they pitched it. And a lot of people sort of said, this is a great idea, but. And the but just, it never got off the ground. And then years later, the bigger companies all moved in okay. with their power and resources and moved right. into those spaces and made a lot of money. So, you know, you have to check, where are you in the market in terms of timing? I think people overpay too much for things like leases. What is your carrying costs? I mean, some of the times I sit down and I ask people, what are your operational costs? What's your rent? What's your insurance? What's your utilities? Cost of labor, employees, you know, all that stuff. You know, the landlord wants money for 365 days a year.
Yeah, that's...
And you need to sell.
He's not part of the investment. That's a hard, flat, monthly cost that you got to come up with, you know, whether the business is thriving or not.
Right. And every time that you're closed and you're not making money, you still have overhead.
Right.
And that overhead can, you know, everything's about cash flow.
Right.
And I always ask people, what is your cash flow? And the problem is that when people come up with projections about cash flow, they're just projections, and they're very optimistic. Oh, I'm going to sell 10,000 slices of pizza a month. Well, based on what? You know? And you see people have all these...
Like, you ask, are you hungry right now?
Yeah.
Well, is that affecting the decision?
I'll buy two. So you have 9,098 to go. But the thing is, you know, I see people come with all these spreadsheets and, you know, all this stuff, and they worked it out, and they'll say, these are my projections, and I'll always test the assumptions. Well, have you done a competitive analysis? What's in a square mile radius from you? Let's say, for example, you're doing pizza.
Right.
Are you near schools? Or what are you near? You know, how many other pizza places are there? Is there parking? What's the parking situation? You know, I'm amazed. Sometimes you see businesses established and they're put in places where there's no place to park, not even just like a meter just to come right. in and out.
And that's going to affect the viability of their ability to really be a great entity and to make a lot of money.
I'll give you a good example because I don't want to use any specific businesses.
Right.
But like, for example, post offices. Some post offices have nice little parking lots. They're free. And you'll notice how packed they are. And others are not necessarily in the most convenient places. There's all meter parking. And people are like, I don't want to spend, you know, a right. meter fee, whether it's in Nassau County or, you know, other places, to mail a letter. It's, you know, right. for a letter that's not that expensive. You know, why do right. I have to spend money to mail
spend
a letter?
More on the meter than, right. than the post.
Right.
The
so there's so many factors that people have to, they got to do their homework. Zoning issues. Is your business receptive to the community? What is your marketing going to cost you? For every dollar of marketing that you spend, what will that yield you right. in a result? Would you spend $10 to make $100? Sure, if you do that all day long, why not?
Right.
But if you're going to spend $10 to make $5, you're headed for a disaster. And I don't know that people have really crunched the numbers and really sat down with the right advisors, you know, financial people, accountants, attorneys, and looked at all the business dynamics. And then, well, you're going to make a salary? Well, remember, if you're the owner, you're going to be paid last.
right?
Everybody gets paid before you. Vendors, right. employees, that's everybody.
Right. Now, we have a lot to cover. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, I want to jump into, if you can explain for the audience the difference between a limited partnership, a corporation, an LLC, talking about the different
sure.
legal terms. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit alitrahealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is noted attorney Richard Solomon. Richard, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It is a pleasure to be here.
And
an honor.
Thank you. Before we even go any further, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, my radio site is thesolomonchannel.com. It's all O's, S-O-L-O-M-O-N. thesolomonchannel.com. And then I do some truck regulation work, which is another topic, but that would be 346broadway.com, because the court where you would go to fight those tickets was located at 346 Broadway. They now moved, but I still kept the site.
That's great. And is there a number or another site that people could find?
If people want to call me during business hours, 516-371-4924.
And repeat,
please. 516-371-4924, thesolomonchannel.com, 346broadway.com.
Amazing. Before the break, we shared with the audience that we're going to discuss the different types of legal entities. So in the first segment of the show, we discussed about, you know, people coming and wanting to start a business. What do they need to be thinking about? We discussed that. Now, what's the? Perhaps you can explain the difference. There's something called a corporation. There's an LLC, an S-Corp, limited partnership. Could you kind of dissect that for the audience?
There's a lot of different ways to approach it. And roughly, there's sort of different kinds of categories. You could be a sole proprietor, which is probably the most dangerous, but it's the easy. It's most dangerous because you have unlimited personal liability. And if you're a sole proprietor, you know, maybe you do little paintings and for people, and you don't want to necessarily be bothered with a lot of corporate compliance, and you just have separate bank accounts. And if you don't believe there's a lot of liability, that's one alternative. It doesn't cost anything to be a sole proprietor. But if you're sued, there's really no end to the way that they can take your personal assets. So what most attorneys suggest when they meet with clients is you probably want to have a separate identity for your business. And then the separate identities can be either corporations, limited partnerships, limited liability corporations. There's a whole variety. What I usually tell people is, let's look at what you're doing, because I think what you're doing has a large impact on what kind of entity you want. And what I usually do in those cases is I defer to the accountants. Now, I know that in certain lines of business, like, say, real estate, you notice that there's just a lot of LLCs. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, like, the accountants like LLCs, you know, they have their benefits, they have their downfalls. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like to really look at is really the asset protection of the business owner. So I usually say to people, you know, do you want to be a corporation? Now, the tax laws keep changing. There's two kinds of corporations. There's corporations that are taxed like an individual. That was called a subchapter S, because that's subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. Mm-hmm. And there's something called a C Corp. You know, the Fortune 500 companies are all C corporations. And there's all these things. Oh, do I want to be a Delaware corporation? And the answer is, if you're just like a mom and pop business, you want to be nice and local, keep it simple. Those things, like, you know, the out-of-state corporations are more designed for, you know, shareholders and shareholder rights, or things that protect boards of directors. But if you're the kind of business that I think that the people listening here are, these are mom and pop businesses. They're going to want to have just sort of a corporation. Talk to your tax advisors. The tax laws are constantly changing. What was a good idea a few years ago changes because all of a sudden they've made a rule change or an interpretation change. But you want to have something that will keep your personal assets clearly distinct and separate from your business assets. But one thing that people should know is that you cannot escape certain personal liabilities. In any business, the owners are responsible for certain things, like the wages of employees. You know, you can't escape that. So there are some rules, like, say, in New York State, where a certain percentage of the larger business shareholders, in terms of percentage, are personally responsible for the employee payroll. So you have to pay your people. Sales tax, for example. When you collect sales tax, you're not really charging sales tax. You're collecting it on behalf of a governmental entity. So if that sales tax money is not accounted for, the government's going to look to you personally because you were the custodian of that money. Mm-hmm. So you really need to sit down with someone and look, what do you do? How do you do it? And then set up systems to account. You know, one of the things I always tell people is use technology. Technology is great today. Mm-hmm. And you may want to have a good payroll system, a good sales tax system, keeps everything nice and orderly, so that if there is a knock on the door from a regulatory agency and they want to do an audit or a surprise audit, you can say, all right, here's all the sales, bump, bump, bump. It's all right. Pumped out. And then you could show it. So I always say to people, look very carefully what you do. And then, of course, how many people are in the business? Who's going to own what? What are the percentages? And then in consultation with CPAs and things like that, then let's formulate what would work for you.
Now I want to move to a wide open area, and that is partnerships.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've seen an endless array of I don't know what, in terms of the world of partnerships, whether it's a silent partner, two partners, a team of partners, like you said, out of state. Perhaps you could really, it's a wide open area, but the world of partnerships in business?
A very good friend of mine has an expression, partners are for dancing, because because he's had, you know, all kinds of experiences. And the problem with partners is there's always either a true imbalance or a perceived imbalance. For example, someone's the money person, mm-hmm. so they put all the money in, but they don't want to do necessarily the work.
Right.
And then other people are sort of the labor people, and then there's all these issues. Well, you know, you're nothing without me because you wouldn't be here without all the money that I put in. And the other guy's like, yeah, well, but you would be nothing out with all the work that right. I do. I'm here 100 hours a week killing right. myself. Right. And I think the most important thing is to set expectations from the beginning. Who's going to do what? I have a situation right now where we're going to start a brand new business, client. And what we did before we did anything, before we sat down and figured out what kind of corporation or entity or whatever, mm-hmm. the first thing I said is, I want to put together a set of business rules. Who is going to do what? What are their titles? What do you get? What are your responsibilities? What are the expectations? So that everybody knows this person is the check writer. This person is operations. This one is marketing and sales. This one is member services. And who gets health care? What do you get? What's the minimum hours a week? We've actually made it so that even the owners have to punch in and punch out. And yes, that's a little draconian, but for this
it's such a smart idea. I just have to jump in. It's such a beautiful point that you're bringing out, such a critical point. And that is, if it's in writing and it's stipulated, then you always have what to go to. It wasn't an assumption, a misunderstanding. And of course, I know what people are thinking. Well, how could you think of every last thing? I'm going to ask Richard. So how do you answer that question? Say, does it pay to write up a document? I'm not going to think of every last thing.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
I remember once a client said to me, a great guy, and he said to me, I don't trust this guy. I need the best agreement you could write. And the first thing I said is, the operational word is trust. And if you're dealing with people you don't trust, then I don't care what the paper says. It's too expensive to enforce your rights. And people who are not trustworthy are not necessarily going to be around to pay for the aftermath of what they've wrought. You know,
it's a great point. So I mean, the document, it's almost like, you know, locks. What is the expression? You know, locks in the door
are for honest people.
Are for honest and are for great. You know, for good neighbors, you know.
But agreements are good for things like
fences. Fences.
Good fences make good neighbors too.
Correct.
But agreements are good for a lot of things such as succession, retirement, death, you know, all those things, divorce, you know, all those things. Because when something happens, you need to know what is the consequence of certain events. Key people, you know, there's something called key man insurance. I know that's a gender name, but it's key. So when the person at the business, the key person, and that person dies, especially unexpectedly, that could be devastating to the business. So you need to ensure that. And then there needs to be a succession plan. And what happens to the stock of that person and the ownership rights? So the agreements are good for those things. But one of the benefits of being a commercial litigator is I've seen all these agreements fall apart, and I've seen the people fight over these things. So I kind of sit down with people and I ask them, what are the expectations? Who's putting in what? Why are they putting in it? Is this all their money? Are they putting in their life savings? Are they betting the farm on this business? Because now all of a sudden you have expectations and pressure because someone's putting, it's not just an investment, it's like, this better work. And then how much money is this business going to really make? Is the business going to withstand business cycles? I mean, there's always business cycles. And the world, you know, there's all kinds of world events. If you're in the real estate business, interest rates really change.
Fluctuate.
And then there's crashes, and then things happen in terms of investment or money or, you know.
So staying on the topic of partnerships, rule number one is great rule number one is make sure you trust the guy.
Well, okay. Rule number one is everybody has to sit down and be realistic. What are we going to do? Let's say we're going to do a radio show mm-hmm. together, right?
Okay.
So Well, what weeks are your weeks? How many shows are you going to do? Are we going to do them all together? Who's going to find all the guests? Who's going to pay for all the pre-production?
Right.
It's like it's
everything has to be detailed and put on paper.
Right.
Because and then if there's tough questions you have to face on paper, guess what? Better to address it then.
Right. And what if we're going to do a radio partnership, but you're able to get all the guests and I'm not that really good at that. What about that? And then what if my editing skills or my other skills really aren't up to snuff?
Right.
Then what happens is there's an imbalance because you're bringing all the guests, you're doing all the work, you're doing all of the stuff right. that actually keeps right. the operation afloat, and I'm kind of more of a drag on the enterprise. And then what happens is you'll say to yourself, what do I need this guy for?
So that's addressed early on in a document?
Well, what you have to do is really sit down and say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What is your expectation? How is it going to get done? And what are the compliance and compensation issues that go with it?
Oh, a great point. So if let's say each person is bringing 15 items to the table, let's just say. So then if let's say it turns out that person A is bringing 25 items and person B is bringing 5, then already they could say, okay, we have to have a conversation because the imbalance is clear. Look, originally we each listed 15, but we all, if we're being honest with each other, one is bringing, 25 items, one's bringing 5, I think we have to relook at the breakdown of the compensation.
You know where you see this a lot? In law firms. And you'll see that there are law firms where there are people called rainmakers. They're the ones who bring in the business.
Right, right.
And they're the other people who kind of service the clients.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an imbalance because the people who bring in the business are kind of bringing the business in for everybody.
Right.
And so what those people would say is, look, I'm bringing in the business, so I really need to have more compensation. Whereas the other people say, yeah, but I'm working 100 hours. So you have to sit down and say, what is this worth? And be very, very honest. And then let's say, because I'm not bringing as much to the table as you are, what can I do to make it more fair? So you say, well, look, what I need you to do is you're going to do more research. What are you capable of? Rich, what can you do? All right. You know what? I'll do some internet research. Maybe I'm good at it. So I'll take that burden off of you, and I'll take that more upon myself to have for the show. I'll do all the questions. I'll do all the background. I'll make sure that, all the content is social media ready. I'll interface and do some,
Right, whichever
stuff.
Items that you could bring to the
right.
table. Richard, we still have a lot to cover. We're going to take a short commercial break, but what I want to touch on when we come back is someone who wants to buy an existing business. And then later on, we want to get to someone who wants to sell an existing business. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Itzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and, of course, around the world at MYBRadio.com. MYBRadio.com. And a reminder, that is the resource, that is the platform where you can pick up every single show that we've had on this great program since July 15. July, it's unbelievable.
Happy anniversary. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. We're going to be closing in on our 200th show, and of course, we're going to do some big splash. It's in development, so we're going to keep everyone teased about it, but we got to do something special, big. It deserves it. 200 shows. That's unbelievable. Okay, before the break,
we 200 did, yeah, high-quality shows.
Thank you. Rich is great. Thank you. Before the break, we let everyone know that we're now going to discuss buying a business. So let me just, preface the question. We're not talking about someone who's just starting a business, they have an idea, but rather they have, whatever is a rich uncle, whatever the expression is, and they're like, they just want to buy an existing business. If we have time, by the way, we're going to get to franchises later in the show. If we have time, otherwise, I'm going to pop the question right now. Richard, would you join me on a future show here on Mind Your Business?
I would always welcome to be here.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay.
You have a great show.
Thank you. We'll see how much we could crush through in the next roughly half hour or so. But okay. Buying a business. You see a business, whether it's B2C, whether it's B2B, perhaps there are differences. What's your strategic advice for someone that wants to just come into an existing business, buy it, and expect a return on that?
There are advantages and serious disadvantages to buying an existing business. You're basically inheriting everything that the people who invented it have done. Now, they could be great, they could have been visionaries, but again, business dynamics change with the times. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing you can do is tremendous homework. What is the lease situation like? How many years left on this lease? What is the landlord like? Is the landlord likely to renew this lease? Should you enter into a new lease with the landlord now? Now, there's benefits and problems with mm-hmm. that. Benefit to an existing lease is that the price is locked in. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, when you move in, the landlord's going to want to probably increase the rent, and you want to control that. How many years on will you get? Are there options to renew? So, that's a very big issue, is the real estate dynamics. Okay. Another thing is, what are the restrictions on the property? I actually represented a particular store in Long Island, and even though they were a certain kind of store, the restriction on the deed said, you can't have this kind of business there. Really? it was a liquor store. Right. So what happened was, for some reason, I guess they wanted to squeeze out competition.
Okay.
So because it's all legal to have a liquor store. So what happened was, we had a lease to be a liquor store, and yet the restrictive part of the deed said, you can do this for retail as long as it's not a liquor store. So, and then there was like, well, what part of the block? So you got to really do your homework. It's not just looking at the leases. You got to go all the way underneath. Right. Who's the landlord? Does the landlord have a propensity to sue tenants and be very, very strict, kick people out, things like that? What if you're a little late? What's the politics of the relationship? Because the landlord and the tenant are, you're very much tied into an economic relationship for a long haul. Right. And if that relationship is rocky, that can be very, very bad. Are you in a retail space? Do you need to be there? Can this business be done somewhere else? Like in the radio business, we could be almost anywhere.
Right.
You want to be near the heart of commerce,
right,
but you don't necessarily have to rent space at Times Square, right, which is incredible overhead. One of the things I always ask people is, can you really afford this rent? And are there cheaper alternatives? Because if you're spending, a certain percentage of your monthly overhead just on
real estate,
the occupancy of where your business is that the best use of your money?
Let's move along on the same subject, not just on real estate. What else should someone be looking out for when buying a business?
Well, you have to look at the reputation of the business. You have to look at the intellectual property of the business. Okay. Does it have a good domain? Does it have a good name? Does it have a good reputation? Is it a name that's easy to remember? Does it make sense? For example, my radio show is called Taking Care of Business. Mm-hmm. And yet, there are so many other taking care of business radio shows out there that if I had to do it over again, I would probably have thought of a different name. Okay. I like the name, and we've kind of rebranded it as Out of the Question. Right. But again, here I am always advising people.
Right.
And the lesson I had to learn was maybe the name that I picked should have been a little bit different, because I see now all over the place there's a lot of similar names. Now, it doesn't really matter because I'm on public radio.
Right.
But again, from a business point of view, is what where are you in the marketplace? What's your brand? What are the brands that will help carry your brand? What are the strategic relationships that you can put together to make an ecosystem for your business? And then
anything else that a person should be looking for?
I mean, obviously, you got to look at
the employees.
You got to look at cash flow. Do you have trade secrets? Do you have employees? Was all the legal work that was done to set up and sustain this business correct? Were the books and ledgers kept up to date? Is the stock up to date? I have a business that goes back to the 1930s as a client. And it's very hard to trace the pedigree of the stock, because in the 30s, it was one thing, and then it was the 40s, and then apparently they did a recapitalization, but then they didn't, and then it went forward, and then they did something else where they issued two shares of class. There was preferred stock, regular stock in the 80s, but then only some of the people signed it, and we couldn't really tell. And then you almost have to say, is everything in order? Because all these things are like quicksand if they're not done right. And then you have to figure out, if I were to take on this business, do I want to just buy the assets of the business and not buy anything else, or am I buying the whole shebang?
So now I want to turn to the other side, and that is a business wants to exit, or an owner wants to exit a business. The business is doing well. What are some tips for selling a business and also the valuation part of it?
All right, well, selling a business is like selling a house. So you want to make sure that you go paint it up, clean it up.
Bake some bread in the
The realtors come in and they make it smell nice, and they put fresh flowers, they clean up the garden.
Baking the bread.
Well, in many ways, you should do that with your business too. Make sure all your paperwork's in order, that all your essential documents are up to date, you've paid all your taxes, you're in compliance with everything, you're not under any litigation threats or claims or anything like that that would scare people away from wanting to buy your business. You have to be realistic about your selling price. In many ways, it's like buying either like real estate or gold coins. People want to sell the gold coin for $1,000, but when you want to buy it, it's like, how much for the coin? How much I want to sell it? I'll give you $5. wait. I just bought it for $1,000, but I want to resell it. I'm not a big subscriber to the buy and flip mentality. There's a lot of people out there who want to buy things and flip them. I'm not much in favor of that. The one question that you always have to look for if someone's selling a business is, why are they selling? And is this a distressed buyer? Because sometimes people see things on the horizon. For example, let's say you're now in a certain kind of business, in the automotive business.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have all these technologies that, prevent crashes and this and that. There's all these sensors. So maybe supplying fenders and bumpers and things like that may not be as profitable, because with all these sensors, maybe that's not the business you want to necessarily be in. I saw a projection that said something like car manufacturing may not really be what it will be in 20 years as it is now, because they predict that in 20 years, you're going to push something on your phone, a self-driving car will just show up, and then you're going to drive the car, and then when you're done, you're going to just leave it, and there won't be as many cars that you'll need, because whenever you need a car, you'll just push a button and a car will show up for you. So somebody said, wow, does it make sense? I remember when I went to a particular law school, and it was at the time when everything was becoming digitized, and the school was going to invest like $65 million into the library. And somebody said, in 30 years, will this be just a bunch of fancy dust collectors? And is all of that money going to really make sense? So when if you're selling, I mean, obviously some of the reasons are, I'm retiring, I'm going to Florida.
Right. Which are legitimate.
Yeah, I killed myself, but is it I'm a mom and pop store and a big box store is opening up and is going to kill us? Or I was the only liquor store in the neighborhood, but now there's 20 and the pie is much smaller. you know, or I had a certain kind of like home improvement store, but now the big box stores are there. So ask yourself why people are selling.
Let's focus on, if you may, or it could be this, you would defer this to a CPA, the valuation of a business.
Well, business can be valued in a lot of different ways, and I do defer to a lot of different people on that. I ask people to look at the cash flow, because that's really, but the real cash flow. You got to look at the real cash flow, not when there's great bumps in the season or you had an exceptional year or just, I don't know, for some reason you had a surge that's not commonplace. What is the cash flow? What do you make for a living? What is the salary that you're pulling out? Another good thing about real cash flow is I didn't put any improvements in the last 10 years. So I was able to take out X dollars, but the answer is, well, yeah, but you're supposed to reinvest 150 back into the business every year to keep the technology current. So, So what's the real cash flow? But I look at business evaluators, I look at business brokers, I look at CPAs to get a consensus. In many ways, they say, you know, what's the business worth, what the market will pay. Right. But a lot of times, just as an analysis, I'll get a team of different perspectives. I'm very big on experts, so I have different people looking at it from different points of view. And then you get a convergence of ideas. And then people in the industries tend to know what something's worth and what they're going to pay for. You know, do you have a good lease? Do you have a good product? Is it viable? How much of it is labor dependent? How much of it is product dependent? How much are you laying out? What is your inventory cost? There's a lot of different factors that go into all these things.
My guest this evening is Richard Solomon. Richard, we're not done yet, but how can people get in touch with you? Well, not now. I mean, I know now it's approaching a quarter to 11.
I could be in the office. Okay. You never know. We're doing a radio show. But if I'm not, my telephone is 516-371-4924. If it's regarding truck regulation, 346broadway.com. And my radio is the Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N, channel.com.
Well, we still have so much to cover, but we only have around 15 minutes left. So we'll see what we get to. And then Richard already graciously accepted that he has no problem coming back on the show. And especially someone of Richard's caliber that has so much experience out there in the business world, noted business attorney. We certainly are going to take up that offer. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single five-hour visit with white-glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Elytra exam now by visiting ElytraHealth.com. That's ELITRA Health.com. Elytra Health. Well, above all.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is noted attorney Richard Solomon. Richard, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It is truly an honor to be here. It is.
Well, during the commercial break, we compared notes. That's what we did. We compared notes and we realized that we only have time to cover two more topics. But they're big topics. One is franchises, buying a franchise. And, you know, we know the advantage of a franchise, of course, is that they have an entire process in place. But we're going to hear from Richard on the advantages and disadvantages. And then a final discussion has to be, every business unfortunately deals with this, and that is collections. Oy vey. And Richard knows a thing or two. He is fantastic at it. Highly recommended. I personally recommend him. Yes, certain situations that will not be discussed any further on the air, where we had to use his services and we came out on top. We'll leave it at that. So let's first go to franchises. Someone wants to buy a business, but they want the ease. I don't know if the word predictability is the right word, but just the fact that it's something that's really set up, which, of course, usually is afforded by a franchise. What's your take on that?
Well, what's interesting is there is a franchise show out there at the Javits Center. I actually covered it for my radio show.
Oh, nice.
And you can actually see all the franchise opportunities out there. And it's kind of interesting because you get to walk through the entire Javits Center and you can see every franchise, and you'd be surprised, there's franchises, everything from food and cleaning services and things about dog grooming. And I mean, just there's all kinds of franchises.
Is it all B2C or does B2B franchises as well?
I think it's all basically B2C.
Right, usually.
But
there may be an exception to the rule, but in general.
What I've experienced is all B2C. But one of the things I always ask people is, you know, franchises to me are great for the franchisor. You know, because those are the people who are making the money.
Right.
You know, so the question is, can you do this kind of business without the franchise? You know, let's say coffee.
Right.
All right. You can be a boutique coffee shop. You don't necessarily need to buy a coffee franchise. There's good and bad. I mean, you know, it depends. Where are you and things like that? Obviously, certain brands are very, very strong. Right. The stronger the brand that you franchise into, the more you're going to have to pay to be a part of the franchise. But it does give you predictability and a lot of other things. And a brand and they do a lot of the work for you. On the other hand, if you're really entrepreneurial and you have great ideas and you can establish a great brand, then you should probably just do it on your own, which is get a great lease, get good advisors, surround yourself with great people, and then put together that coffee shop on your own. Get a great location, maybe near a train station or something like that.
Right.
Do whatever it is. And then, you know, get the best coffee and, you know, whether it's organic or this or that, and get good pricing, good service, do the things that people want, and then you could be, quote, another coffee store in yet a very crowded market.
So going back to the idea if someone wants to purchase a franchise, you actually draw up documentation for something like that, or it's...
Actually, I don't, because a lot of times the franchise operators have very strict rules about what they require of their franchisees, mm-hmm. There's franchise agreements, because you can't have one deal for you and a different deal for me. You know, everybody's got to have the same. So, gotcha. But I've reviewed them. And the truth is, I always tell people for franchise, go to a franchise attorney. It's better that way. Go to people, you know, for intellectual property, go to an intellectual property attorney. For tax issues, go to a tax attorney or go to a CPA. In fact, I have a friend who's both an attorney, a CPA, and she has a master's in tax. So wow. I'll say go to someone like that, because you want specialization. Yeah, the best lawyers say, I can't do everything, go to these kinds of specialties. Or they are aligned with other people who can help bring more knowledge into the mix.
We're going to jump now into the, shall we say, not the most exciting part of a business, but certainly from the most critical parts of a business, and that is collections, right? Every business, right, lives and dies based on cash flow, and collections is a critical part of it. Richard is a noted attorney that has a very, very deep specialty in the area of collections and is actually really great at it, very successful. You know, talk about it. Talk even about what could a business, what should a business do to ensure that their collectibles are going to be, you know, enforceable in court, Take it away, Richard.
What most people don't realize is that there's a lot of psychology surrounding debt. There's a lot of reasons why people don't necessarily pay. Sometimes they just don't want to pay. Sometimes they have personal issues. Sometimes they feel ripped off. I mean, there's a lot of issues. Cash flow is the lifeblood of a business.
Right.
And what I always tell people is, do you realize that if I'm going to do services for you, let's say for this month, and I invoice you later, that I essentially lent you the money, and now I'm expecting for that loan to be paid back. And you're actually like a bank, in a way, because I'm lending you money. Now, it's in the form of time and other things like that for my business, but any kind of business, service business, architects, you know, accountants, engineers, whatever it is, we're based on time. So we bill some time, we give you an invoice. And some of it's psychology, which is, oh my God, I can't believe it was that expensive. Or I didn't, you know, so one of the things to start out with is, what are the expectations? How much will this cost? Be very, very clear on that. The second is, who is your client? Do they have the capacity to pay? Are they in over their head? Are they over budget already? You know, for example, one of the warning signs to attorneys is, if a client comes to you and they're defending 10 debt cases, you know, are they going to be able to pay you to defend all that debt? You know, you got to read the warning signs. Same thing with clients. What is the nature of the relationship that's creating, you know, this cash flow thing, especially if you're not doing a credit card or like a debit payment on the spot, where you're doing work and you have to get it back later, whatever it is, whether it's a construction service rental or you're doing anything, you are lending money. And that's a tremendous awareness issue for the owners. So now that I've lent you the money, now it's, I have to go chase it. And what you want to do is, you need to limit your risk. It's your credit lending risk that you have to reduce. Who's your client? Do you have the right name? I can't tell you how many times people have said, you need to sue Joe. And it turns out Joe's real name is like something else. Have you got the right business? Is the business even viable? You know, there are many times I've sued people, and I'll give you a good story.
Okay.
A guy calls me up and says, we've been calling these people. They don't pick up the phone. They don't answer. They've been, you know, avoiding us. I said, where are they located? So they gave me the address. So I said, we're walking over there. We walk over there, and what do we see? They're boxing up the place. And we get the one guy who's there, and we told him who we were. And he said, yo, I know about you. And it was the parent company. What they did is, the subsidiary failed, and they were just packing up the place. Everybody was fired. And so we worked out a deal. But had we not physically gone there,
you would have lost everything.
It would have been the typical thing. You know, bring a lawsuit, get a default, try to enforce it. The marshal goes to the door. There's nobody there. There's no bank account. Everybody wasted a year or two of time, money. But instead, you got to do your field work. You got to get on your feet and go out there and see what's going on. It is a good idea not to only do business by click and phone. Meet your clients. What do their offices look like? Are they viable? Are they vibrant? Are they working out of like real space? Are they in, just working out of their houses or cars? You know, you know, who are you working with? What do they want? Can they pay? What's their track record? One thing I do is, for free, you can go to nycourts.gov, which is the court system website, and you could look up anybody's, you know, whether they're a plaintiff or a defendant, whether they've sued or been sued. And you can see, and then
NY Courts,
NYCOURTS.gov. It's a government site. It's absolutely free. They don't track you or anything like that. You have to register or pay anything like that. It's the New York State Unified Court System. And if you notice, you'll see sometimes, you know, ABC Company. And you'll see ABC Company has been sued 50 times over 25 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a warning sign. You could actually look. Many cases are electronically filed. You actually look into the guts of the case. What's the complaint say? What do the affidavits say? And you can see that some businesses get sued a lot. Some businesses sue a lot. Now, if you're always suing for collection, you know what that means? It means your credit department or the people who are doing, the work are not really investigating and doing their due diligence.
Right. So why is it always falling to that?
Right.
Richard. Time flies.
Wow, that was cool.
But we have a minute and a half for my last question, and that is, you've seen it all, okay? What takeaways could you share? And it could be a few. with the listeners of Mind Your Business? What business takeaways?
The most important thing is surround yourself by experienced, high-quality, knowledgeable people. No person is an island, and no business can exist in a vacuum. And it's always good to be with other experts, other people in all kinds, because good brands help other brands. Knowledge is universal. And if you do your homework and you hang out with the right people and you talk to people and you get ideas and you try ideas with people, and you know, I'll say to you, hey, you're a radio guy. What do you think of this kind of show? And you'll be like, you know.
I mean, that counts for something.
It does, because if I say to you, I want to do this kind of show, and you say, I don't think that's going to really draw any inspiration. But that's valuable. It's more important to get negative feedback than just to be given the thumbs up or approval because you want to be surrounded by people who just tell you yes. You know, so be around good people, do your homework, and don't be afraid to take chances.
Richard Solomon, last pitch over here. How could people get in touch with you?
My office telephone is 516-371-4924, and I can always be found at The Solomon Channel, Solomon channel.com for my radio endeavors. And then, of course, if you have any truck regulation issues that bring you to criminal court on a corporate level, that's 346broadway.com.
That wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night right here on 77 WABC for another great edition of Mind Your Business. Have a great week.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.